Please welcome lawyer, policy advocate, and sister of the Vice President, Maya Harris.
Hello, Chicago. In 1958, a 19-year-old from India left the only country she'd ever known to chart her own path in America. She came here to pursue an education, but she stayed here to build a life. Her name was Dr. Shyamala Gopalan Harris. But we called her Mommy. Mommy was so many things to so many people. A civil rights activist, a scientist, a devoted mother to her two little girls. But most of all, Mommy was a trailblazer who defied the odds and defined herself. And when it came to Kamala and me, Mommy had great expectations for us, but she had even greater expectations of us. She raised us to believe that we could be and do anything. And we believed her. You see, Mommy understood the power and the possibility that come with knowing and showing who you truly are. She knew we could be the authors of our own stories, just as she'd been the author of her own. Mommy's journey and the opportunity that she wanted for Kamala and me, that's a distinctly American story. We may all have different histories, different struggles, or different perspectives, but what binds us together is the fervent desire to be free, to fulfill our God-given potential. Kamala's entire life has been about fighting for each of us to have that freedom. And like so many Americans, Kamala knows what it's like to be underestimated and be counted out. She knows what it's like to be the underdog and yet still beat the odds. And now, she has created so much electricity, so much optimism, so much joy throughout the nation, and it is why we need her leadership in this historic moment. We are living in a time when some are trying to divide us, to separate us in ways that make it difficult for us to come together. Well, look, my sister rejects that view. Where others push darkness, Kamala sees promise. Where others feel detachment, Kamala fosters connection. Where others want to drag us back to the past, my sister says, hold up now, we are not going back. Because Kamala understands we have so much more in common than what separates us. She knows the measure of our success isn't just winning an election. It's about who we bring along and lift up in the process. And so as I look out at all of you today and take in this incredible moment, I so wish that Mommy could be here tonight. I can just see her smiling, saying how proud she is of Kamala. And then, without missing a beat, she say, that's enough, you got work to do. She would tell all of us to roll up our sleeves and get to work, to elect a leader who sees the potential in each of us A leader who cares for all of us. A leader who fights for every one of us. Our Democratic nominee, my big sister, the next president of the United States, Kamala Harris.
Please welcome North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
Hello, America. I'm Roy Cooper, the last guy standing between you and the moment we're all waiting for. So I'm going to get right to it. All week, you've heard stories about my friend Kamala. I want to take you behind the scenes of one of them. 2011 was a rough time for American homeowners. Hundreds of thousands were losing their homes to illegal foreclosure. I was Attorney General in North Carolina, while Kamala had just become California's. All the AGs were close to a settlement with the big banks, and it was a pretty good deal. Would have meant $4 billion for California families who'd been ripped off. I know that sounds like a lot, but Kamala said, "Hang on a minute. I've met these families. I know what they've been through, and they deserve more." She went toe-to-toe with some of the world's most powerful executives, and she refused to give in. Let me tell you, this was a huge risk, but she knew it was a risk worth taking. That's Kamala. And we all know what happened. The banks caved. That $4 billion for California families became $20 billion. That was the first time I witnessed Kamala in action. And what I saw was a leader who does exactly what she says she's going to do, who never will settle for less. America, we got a lot of big fights ahead of us. And we've got one hell of a fighter ready to take them on. I know that because I know her. And tonight, I want the American people to know, even if you don't agree with her on everything, Kamala Harris will fight for you to the very end. For families who need better health care or a safer place to live, Kamala will fight for you. For parents who want better schools for their kids, for workers worried about a secure retirement for themselves, Kamala will fight for you. For any one of our allies anywhere in the world wondering if America still has your back, remember this: Kamala will fight for you. And when she fights, we win. Kamala's ready. The question is, are we? Are we going to stand up and fight for Kamala like she'll stand up and fight for us? All right. If you're ready, my home state of North Carolina, stand up. Stand up, Pennsylvania. Stand up, Michigan. Stand up, Wisconsin. Stand up, Georgia. Stand up, Nevada. Stand up, Arizona. Stand up, America. Are we going to stand up? Are we going to fight? Are we going to vote? Are we going to win? You bet we are. Let's go get them.
She grew up in a tight-knit neighborhood. It was the kind of place where your neighbor would look after you when school let out, where your first grade teacher would show up at your law school graduation. It's where Kamala Harris learned what it means to be in the middle class, making every paycheck count. She was raised by a working mom who taught her about standing up for what's right and protecting the people you love.
Kamala carries the lessons of our mother, the fighting spirit of our mother, the compassion.
She was all of 5 feet tall. If you met her, you would have thought she was 7 feet tall. And our mother, if I'd ever come home complaining about anything, she wouldn't have it. The first thing she'd say is, well, just stop the complaining. Just tell me what you're going to do about it.
And since she was a young girl, Kamala Harris has been fighting for families like the one she grew up with.
That is Kamala. She can't help herself from standing up for people and standing up for what she thinks is right. She has been that way our whole lives. Being a protector is what led her to become a prosecutor. Looking back now, I could say it was her calling.
As a courtroom prosecutor, she went after predators who targeted women and children, and fraudsters who ripped off working families. And she put dangerous gang members and human traffickers behind bars.
We didn't have partnerships with DOJ or FBI or DEA or any of those law enforcement agencies. Now, we all work collaboratively. She was the person who built the foundation in how we do criminal justice in America.
As Attorney General of California, she held the big Wall Street banks accountable for fraud, winning $20 billion for California families. She took on one of the largest for-profit colleges that was scamming students. And in the Senate, she fought for her constituents with the determination of a prosecutor, standing up for reproductive freedom.
Can you think of any laws that give the government the power to make decisions about the male body?
I'm not thinking of any right now, Senator.
She fought to keep our children safe from the terror of gun violence.
How many of you guys had to have a drill where you learned about how you need to hide in a closet or crouch in a corner in the event that there is a mass shooter? Look at that. Look at that.
On the Intelligence Committee, she defended our nation against foreign adversaries. And in 2020, she made history as the first woman to be elected Vice President of the United States. She cast the tie-breaking vote to deliver urgent relief to the American people during the pandemic. She beat Big Pharma to lower prescription drug costs and cap the cost of insulin, and led the fight to restore reproductive rights after Roe v. Wade was overturned.
We have worked too hard and fought too long to see our daughters grow up in a world with fewer rights than our mothers.
Because she's never been afraid to stand up to powerful interests.
Sometimes people will open the door for you and leave it open. Sometimes they won't. And then you need to kick that f***ing door down. Excuse my language.
Now, she's running for president, still fighting for families like the one she grew up with.
Our campaign is about saying we trust the people. We're saying we just want fairness. We want dignity for all people. And we are a work in progress. We haven't yet quite reached all of those ideals, but we will die trying because we love our country. We believe in our country. We're not falling for these folks who are trying to divide us, trying to pull us apart. We know what we stand for, and we stand for the people, and we stand for the dignity of work, and we stand for freedom. We stand for justice. We stand for equality. And so we will fight for all of it.
That's who Kamala Harris is. That's what she believes, and that's what she'll fight for every day.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Please welcome the Democratic nominee for president, Vice President of the United States of America, Kamala Harris.
Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's get to business. Let's get to business. All right. So let me start by thanking my most incredible husband, Doug, for being an incredible partner to me, an incredible father to Cole and Ella. And happy anniversary, Dougie. I love you so very much. To our President Joe Biden, when I think about the path that we have traveled together, Joe, I am filled with gratitude. Your record is extraordinary, as history will show, and your character is inspiring. And Doug and I love you and Jill and are forever thankful to you both. And to Coach Tim Walz, you are going to be an incredible vice president. And to the delegates and everyone who has put your faith in our campaign, your support is humbling. So, America, the path that led me here in recent weeks was no doubt unexpected. But I'm no stranger to unlikely journeys. So, my mother, our mother, Shamala Harris, had one of her own. And I miss her every day, and especially right now. And I know she's looking down, smiling. I know that. So my mother was 19 when she crossed the world alone, traveling from India to California with an unshakable dream to be the scientist who would cure breast cancer. When she finished school, she was supposed to return home to a traditional arranged marriage. But as fate would have it, she met my father, Donald Harris, a student from Jamaica. They fell in love and got married, and that act of self-determination made my sister Maya and me. Growing up, we moved a lot. I will always remember that big Mayflower truck packed with all our belongings, ready to go to Illinois, to Wisconsin, and wherever our parents' jobs took us. My early memories of our parents together are very joyful ones. A home filled with laughter and music, Aretha, Coltrane, and Miles. At the park, my mother would say, "Stay close." But my father would say, as he smiled, "Run, Kamala, run. Don't be afraid. Don't let anything stop you." From my earliest years, he taught me to be fearless. But the harmony between my parents did not last. When I was in elementary school, they split up, and it was mostly my mother who raised us. Before she could finally afford to buy a home, She rented a small apartment in the East Bay. In the Bay, you either live in the hills or the flatlands. We lived in the flats. A beautiful working class neighborhood of firefighters, nurses, and construction workers, all who tended their lawns with pride. My mother, she worked long hours, and like many working parents, she leaned on a trusted circle to help raise us. Mrs. Shelton, who ran the daycare below us and became a second mother. Uncle Sherman, Aunt Mary, Uncle Freddie, Auntie Chris, none of them family by blood, and all of them family by love. Family who taught us how to make gumbo, how to play chess, and sometimes even let us win. Family who loved us, believed in us, and told us we could be anything and do anything. They instilled in us the values they personified: community, faith, and the importance of treating others as you would want to be treated, with kindness, respect, and compassion. My mother was a brilliant, 5-foot-tall, brown woman with an accent. And as the eldest child, I saw how the world would sometimes treat her. But my mother never lost her cool. She was tough, courageous, a trailblazer in the fight for women's health, and she taught Maya and me a lesson that Michelle mentioned the other night. She taught us to never complain about injustice, but do something about it. Do something about it. That was my mother. And she taught us, and she also taught us, and never do anything half-assed. And that is a direct quote. A direct quote. I grew up immersed in the ideals of the civil rights movement. My parents had met at a civil rights gathering, and they made sure that we learned about civil rights leaders, including the lawyers like Thurgood Marshall and Constance Baker Motley, those who battled in the courtroom to make real the promise of America. So at a young age, I decided I wanted to do that work. I wanted to be a lawyer. And when it came time to choose the type of law I would pursue, I reflected on a pivotal moment in my life. You see, when I was in high school, I started to notice something about my best friend, Wanda. She was sad at school, and there were times she didn't want to go home. So one day I asked if everything was all right, and she confided in me that she was being sexually abused by her stepfather. And I immediately told her she had to come stay with us, and she did. This is one of the reasons I became a prosecutor, to protect people like Wanda, because I believe everyone has a right to safety, to dignity, and to justice. As a prosecutor, when I had a case, I charged it not in the name of the victim, but in the name of the people. For a simple reason: in our system of justice, a harm against any one of us is a harm against all of us. And I would often explain this to console survivors of crime, to remind them, no one should be made to fight alone. We are all in this together. And every day in the courtroom, I stood proudly before a judge and I said five words: Kamala Harris for the people. And to be clear, my entire career, I've only had one client, the people. And so, on behalf of the people, on behalf of every American, regardless of party, race, gender, or the language your grandmother speaks, on behalf of my mother and everyone who has ever set out on their own unlikely journey, on behalf of Americans like the people I grew up with, people who work hard, chase their dreams, and look out for one another, on behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination to be President of the United States of America. And with this election, our nation with this election has a precious, fleeting opportunity to move past the bitterness, cynicism, and divisive battles of the past, a chance to chart a new way forward. Not as members of any one party or faction, but as Americans. And let me say, I know there are people of various political views watching tonight, and I want you to know, I promise to be a president for all Americans. You can always trust me to put country above party and self, to hold sacred America's fundamental principles, from the rule of law to free and fair elections to the peaceful transfer of power. I will be a president who unites us around our highest aspirations, a president who leads and listens, who is realistic, practical, and has common sense, and always fights for the American people. From the courthouse to the White House, that has been my life's work. As a young courtroom prosecutor in Oakland, California, I stood up for women and children against predators who abuse them. As Attorney General of California, I took on the big banks, delivered $20 billion for middle-class families who faced foreclosure, and helped pass a homeowner bill of rights, one of the first of its kind in the nation. I stood up for veterans and students being scammed by big for-profit colleges, for workers who are being cheated out of their wages, the wages they were due, for seniors facing elder abuse. I fought against the cartels who traffic in guns and drugs and human beings, who threaten the security of our border and the safety of our communities. And I will tell you, these fights were not easy. and neither were the elections that put me in those offices. We were underestimated at practically every turn, but we never gave up because the future is always worth fighting for. And that's the fight we are in right now, a fight for America's future. Fellow Americans, this election is not only the most important of our lives, it is one of the most important in the life of our nation. In many ways, Donald Trump is an unserious man. But the consequences of putting Donald Trump back in the White House are extremely serious. Consider not only the chaos and calamity when he was in office, but also the gravity of what has happened since he lost the last election. Donald Trump tried to throw away your votes. When he failed, he sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol, where they assaulted law enforcement officers. When politicians in his own party begged him to call off the mob and send help, he did the opposite. He fanned the flames. And now, for an entirely different set of crimes, he was found guilty of fraud by a jury of everyday Americans. And separately found liable for committing sexual abuse. And consider what he intends to do if we give him power again. Consider his explicit intent to set free violent extremists who assaulted those law enforcement officers at the Capitol. His explicit intent to jail journalists, political opponents, and anyone he sees as the enemy. His explicit intent to deploy our active duty military against our own citizens. Consider the power he will have, especially after the United States Supreme Court just ruled that he would be immune from criminal prosecution. Just imagine Donald Trump with no guardrails and how he would use the immense powers of the presidency of the United States. Not to improve your life, not to strengthen our national security, but to serve the only client he has ever had, himself. And we know what a second Trump term would look like. It's all laid out in Project 2025, written by his closest advisors. And its sum total is to pull our country back to the past. But America, we are not going back. We are not going back. We are not going back. We are not going back to when Donald Trump tried to cut Social Security and Medicare. We are not going back to when he tried to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, when insurance companies could deny people with pre-existing conditions. We are not going to let him eliminate the Department of Education that funds our public schools. We are not going to let him end programs like Head Start that provide preschool and childcare for our children. America, we are not going back. And we are charting a new way forward. Forward to a future with a strong and growing middle class, because we know a strong middle class has always been critical to America's success. And building that middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency. And I'll tell you, this is personal for me. The middle class is where I come from. My mother kept a strict budget. We lived within our means, yet we wanted for little. And she expected us to make the most of the opportunities that were available to us and to be grateful for them. Because, as she taught us, opportunity is not available to everyone. That's why we will create what I call an opportunity economy, where everyone has the chance to compete and a chance to succeed. Whether you live in a rural area, small town, or big city. And as president, I will bring together labor and workers and small business owners and entrepreneurs and American companies to create jobs, to grow our economy, and to lower the cost of everyday needs like health care and housing and groceries. We will provide access to capital for small business owners and entrepreneurs and founders. And we will end America's housing shortage and protect Social Security and Medicare. Now compare that to Donald Trump, because I think everyone here knows he doesn't actually fight for the middle class. Instead, he fights for himself and his billionaire friends. And he will give them another round of tax breaks that will add up to $5 trillion to the national debt. And all the while, he intends to enact what in effect is a national sales tax, call it a Trump tax, that would raise prices on middle-class families by almost $4,000 a year. Well, instead of a Trump tax hike, we will pass a middle-class tax cut that will benefit more than 100 million Americans. Friends, I believe America cannot truly be prosperous unless Americans are fully able to make their own decisions about their own lives, especially on matters of heart and home. But tonight, in America, too many women are not able to make those decisions. And let's be clear about how we got here. Donald Trump handpicked members of the United States Supreme Court to take away reproductive freedom. And now, he brags about it. In his words, quote, "I did it and I'm proud to have done it," end quote. Well, I'll tell you, over the past 2 years, I've traveled across our country and women have told me their stories. Husbands and fathers have shared theirs. Stories of women miscarrying in a parking lot, developing sepsis, losing the ability to ever again have children, all because doctors are afraid they may go to jail for caring for their patients. Couples just trying to grow their family, cut off in the middle of IVF treatments. Children who have survived sexual assault, potentially being forced to carry a pregnancy to term. This is what's happening in our country because of Donald Trump. And understand, he is not done. As a part of his agenda, he and his allies would limit access to birth control, ban medication abortion, and enact a nationwide abortion ban with or without Congress. And get this, he plans to create a national anti-abortion coordinator and force states to report on women's miscarriages and abortions. Simply put, they are out of their minds. And one must ask, why exactly is it that they don't trust women? Well, we trust women. We trust women. And when Congress passes a bill to restore reproductive freedom, as President of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law. In this election, many other fundamental freedoms are at stake. The freedom to live safe from gun violence in our schools, communities, and places of worship. The freedom to love who you love openly and with pride. The freedom to breathe clean air and drink clean water and live free from the pollution that fuels the climate crisis. And the freedom that unlocks all the others, the freedom to vote. With this election, we finally have the opportunity to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the Freedom to Vote Act. And let me be clear. After decades in law enforcement, I know the importance of safety and security, especially at our border. Last year, Joe and I brought together Democrats and conservative Republicans to write the strongest border bill in decades. The Border Patrol endorsed it. But Donald Trump believes a border deal would hurt his campaign. So he ordered his allies in Congress to kill the deal. Well, I refuse to play politics with our security. And here is my pledge to you. As president, I will bring back the bipartisan border security bill that he killed, and I will sign it into law. I know we can live up to our proud heritage as a nation of immigrants and reform our broken immigration system. We can create an earned pathway to citizenship and secure our border. And America, we must also be steadfast in advancing our security and values abroad. As Vice President, I have confronted threats to our security, negotiated with foreign leaders, strengthened our alliances, and engaged with our brave troops overseas. As Commander-in-Chief, I will ensure America always has the strongest, most lethal fighting force in the world. And I will fulfill our sacred obligation to care for our troops and their families, and I will always honor and never disparage their service and their sacrifice. I will make sure that we lead the world into the future on space and artificial intelligence, that America, not China, wins the competition for the 21st century, and that we strengthen, not abdicate, our global leadership. Trump, on the other hand, threatened to abandon NATO. He encouraged Putin to invade our allies, said Russia could, quote, do whatever the hell they want. 5 days before Russia attacked Ukraine, I met with President Zelensky to warn him about Russia's plan to invade. I helped mobilize a global response, over 50 countries, to defend against Putin's aggression. As president, I will stand strong with Ukraine and our NATO allies. With respect to the war in Gaza, President Biden and I are working around the clock, because now is the time to get a hostage deal and a ceasefire deal done. And let me be clear, I will always stand up for Israel's right to defend itself, and I will always ensure Israel has the ability to defend itself, because the people of Israel must never again face the horror that a terrorist organization called Hamas caused on October 7, including unspeakable sexual violence and the massacre of young people at a music festival. At the same time, what has happened in Gaza over the past 10 months is devastating. So many innocent lives lost. Desperate, hungry people fleeing for safety over and over again. The scale of suffering is heartbreaking. President Biden and I are working to end this war such that Israel is secure, the hostages are released, the suffering in Gaza ends, and the Palestinian people can realize their right to dignity, security, freedom, and self-determination. And know this, I will never hesitate to take whatever action is necessary to defend our forces and our interests against Iran and Iran-backed terrorists. I will not cozy up to tyrants and dictators like Kim Jong-un, who are rooting for Trump. Because, you know, they know he is easy to manipulate with flattery and favors. They know Trump won't hold autocrats accountable because he wants to be an autocrat himself. And as president, I will never waver in defense of America's security and ideals, because in the enduring struggle between democracy and tyranny, I know where I stand and I know where the United States belongs. I love our country with all my heart. Everywhere I go, in everyone I meet, I see a nation that is ready to move forward, ready for the next step in the incredible journey that is America. I see an America where we hold fast to the fearless belief that built our nation and inspired the world, that here, in this country, anything is possible, that nothing is out of reach. An America where we care for one another, look out for one another, and recognize that we have so much more in common than what separates us. That none of us has to fail for all of us to succeed. And that in unity there is strength. You know, our opponents in this race are out there every day denigrating America, talking about how terrible everything is. Well, my mother had another lesson she used to teach. Never let anyone tell you who you are. You show them who you are. America, let us show each other and the world who we are and what we stand for. Freedom, opportunity, compassion, dignity, fairness, and endless possibilities. We are the heirs to the greatest democracy in the history of the world. And on behalf of our children and our grandchildren and all those who sacrificed so dearly for our freedom and liberty, we must be worthy of this moment. It is now our turn to do what generations before us have done, guided by optimism and faith, to fight for this country we love, to fight for the ideals we cherish, and to uphold the awesome responsibility that comes with the greatest privilege on earth, the privilege and pride of being an American. So let's get out there. Let's fight for it. Let's get out there. Let's vote for it. And together, let us write the next great chapter in the most extraordinary story ever told. Thank you. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. Thank you all.
news tell me I'm moving backwards. 8 blacks left, death is around the corner. 7 misleading statements by my persona. 6 headlights waving in my direction. 5-0 asking me what's in my possession. Yeah, I keep running, jumping the aqueducts. Fire hydrants and hazard, there's smoke alarms on the back of us. But mama, don't cry for me, ride for me, try for me, live for me, breathe for me, sing for me. Honestly, God in me, I can be more than I gotta be. Stole from me, lied to me, nation, hypocrisy, gold on me, driving me wicked. My spirit inspired me like, yeah. Open correctional gates in high desert. Yeah. Open our mind as we cast away oppression. Open the streets and watch our beliefs. And when they carve my name inside the concrete, I pray it forever reads.
Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Freedom, freedom, where are you? Cause I need freedom too. I break chains all by myself. Won't let my freedom rot in hell. Hey, I'ma keep running cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Cause it's my mountains.
Please stand if you are able for this evening's benediction offered by Rabbi Lauren Holtzblad and Reverend Dr. Amos Brown.
America, let us pray. God brought us out of the narrow place of oppression to freedom. Let's remember the treacherous road our ancestors traveled to freedom, their sacrifice and resolve to bring a better, more inclusive world. We stand on their shoulders to declare, we are not going back. God, who notices the downtrodden, give us the courage to imagine the world as you do, where everyone has the opportunity to thrive, where diversity brings strength, not weakness, and where all have the right to make the choices for their own bodies. God of strength, guard Vice President Harris and Governor Walz with your sheltering presence as they carry on with courage and conviction to build a better future for all Americans. Shine a light on them so that they may continue to pursue justice, equity, and reproductive freedom. An America free from gun violence that safeguards free and fair elections, with less vitriol and more joy, not afraid to face its past, to grow a brighter future where every child can look to their leaders and see themselves and know that someday they too can lead. May we all be blessed with the ability to see the humanity in each other. America, let's make history. Amen.
As we close this convention, we ask that the Creator bestow blessings on Vice President Harris and Governor Walz, and upon the bright future they will bring to the people of America, a future where our nation lives its motto of E Pluribus Unum, bringing together in civility and dignity, the diversity that has built this great nation. E Pluribus Unum, one nation that embraces us all, every race, creed, or color, regardless of sexual orientation, gender, or gender expression, rich and poor, old and young, urban and rural, a future, O God, for every American, where the humanity of all persons will be affirmed and celebrated where every American has the opportunity and freedom to pursue those inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. A future, oh God, where we live in peace and joy, where we set aside our rancor and division, where we heal our differences and celebrate our common purposes as one nation, one American community, that great city on a hill that serves as a beacon for all the people and all the nations. This is a journey we begin today, and we pray that the Almighty God will guide us on this path today, tomorrow, and for all the generations to come. Amen and amen.
As we close, I want to thank each and every one of you for bringing your energy and your enthusiasm to the convention that will carry us through to victory in November. Look around. You're surrounded by people from every corner of the country who traveled here because they believe in our mission. We know that unity is our strength. We know that the issues we've highlighted this week are not abstract. We know what's at stake, and we bring that with us and this beginning.
Over the next 75 days, we will mobilize like never before to show America what we as Democrats stand for.
Together, we will fight for our rights, our freedom, and our democracy. Together, we will elect Democrats up and down the ballot. Together, we will win. Win that, as we know, we have to further business to come before the convention. I am now proud to adjourn the 49th Democratic National Convention. Thank you, Chicago.